Welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master, as known in a lot of other systems, and I use they/them pronouns.
Hey, I'm Adam. I play as Vons, and their free little fox folk friends. We all use the he/him pronouns, and today we have no idea what's going on. We're gonna talk to Gex, I suspect.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use they, she pronouns, and Jesse is always down for whatever is gonna happen with a Gex situation.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard, and as of like the past 3 or 4 months, I've been welded with Sidroa, and our portmanteau is Weldroa. Wealthy uses she, her, I use she, her, and Sidroa uses what the hell ever, and I'm looking forward to enacting.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist / mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold college student spelunker pilot. We all use he, him pronouns, and we're ready to be actists.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, you should rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. It helps people find us, makes us feel good about what we do, and for those reasons, you should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. As you may have guessed from introductions, today we are doing an acting. You may have noticed, based on the release date, it is summer, and that means people's schedules are complicated. And so we're doing an acting so we can make sure that our delve down to the core, A, doesn't stop in weird places, or B, has people just randomly evaporate. Because, you know, I want to earn it when player characters disappear for some reason or another. They're not disintegrated. I don't want it happening. But all right. We join our cast of characters outside of time and space, or at least outside of continuity. All right. So I know all of you owed me, Gex, a character you have all met before, a couple of actings. And I'm pretty sure you owe me at least 4.
Was there, like, interest or something that I didn't know about?
Nah, I'm pretty sure you promised 2 to me twice. And given you can't remember, I'm just going to say, yep, you promised 2 to me 2 different times. So,
well, whatever.
But what about the sword sprinters and the plot-relevant child stories? Like, didn't that knock it down some?
Yeah, I knocked it down to you owe me 2 more.
Oh, okay.
Possibly more, depending on logistical needs.
Sure. it's weird you can say that and not have your nose bleed, man.
There's a lot you don't know about me, so. Huh. And you're not going to learn today, because today we are going to do a different acting. Now, you're going to get introduced in chunks, so just bear with me and take on the roles as I tell you, because I'm the director here, so eat it.
I mean, yeah.
It's a matter of
what was there to eat?
Grix, I expected better of you.
Oh, you really shouldn't have.
Could we establish which of the Green Day universe people versus Prime Universe people are currently in the acting?
So, in an ideal world, neither of the Green Day characters would be here.
Okay.
Because one of the major flaws of the acting is that the Green Day characters can probably recognize what's going on.
Okay.
Or they can be there as background characters if you want to occasionally interject as them, but...
Just trying to establish what the rules are for the world, man.
Adam and Wit, are you both cool with just running your original recipe characters?
Yeah.
All right. Grix, we're going to start with you.
Yeah.
You're in a room lit only by magical crystals that you have arranged on a console in such a way as to search for information. You've fallen asleep when there is a knock on your door.
Come in.
Scum, skeezy looking guy that kind of looks like Vons, but with a goatee. And a woman, straight out of Sword Sprinter, are there. You have something they need. A magic crystal you've specifically attuned. Carry information.
Whoa.
The guy asks you, do you have the stuff?
Yeah, you got the money?
Of course I got the money.
Well, I got the stuff.
Pulls out a purse of coins for you. You make your exchange. He goes, hey man, you should come out with us tonight. Get outside of your apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got a lot of work to do, but that's definitely what Kelly was laughing at.
And do you remember something that the crystal said right as you stood up from your desk? It said to follow the white rabbit. and the lady.
Aaron caught on.
Has a rabbit tattoo on her shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. It's just what I need. Clear my head.
So you head on out. And thank you, Grix, for running the illusions we cleanly established you've been running before this point. As we switch to a loud club, full of music and sadly lacking in hot minotaurs, because we can't have everything we want.
That's fine. Aerosene's not here.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that wasn't in Jesse's voice. I was thinking directorial thoughts. You're all fine. Anyway, so you're in a loud dance club. Grix, how do you normally approach being in a loud dance club?
I move through the crowd real cool, like real smooth. And I definitely like slightly stand out from the crowd.
Perfect. All right. Wealthy.
Uh-huh. Oh, no. I don't. I okay.
Listen, it's fine.
Uh-huh.
It occurs to me, Grix.
Yeah.
Because we're doing our own acting and interpretation, if you will.
Uh-huh.
What do you think your character's name would be? Hacker, new guy, Optimus Prime.
Please be Optimus Prime. do whatever you want, but Optimus Prime would be a great way to do this.
Roy Gilmore, Pope Boniface III.
Shades. My name is Shades.
We'll roll with it for now.
No, it's because I'm always wearing sunglasses, even though it's dark out.
Oh, that's canonical.
I mean, it's going to be like half this movie's cast, but okay.
Yeah.
Acting's cast. All right.
Yeah, but I'm like known for it.
Yeah.
Like a blues brother.
Wealthy.
Uh-huh.
You've been trying to reach out to Shades.
I have.
You have something important to share with him.
I do.
And by sending your magic through this great network of magical conduits, you've managed to get him to come to this club to meet you.
Uh-huh.
You're on the approach.
Yep. I'm sliding in smooth.
And you gotta introduce yourself. And thankfully, you two are of a close enough height that you can lean in to subtly whisper to him. Something that's only occurring to me now could have been a problem, depending on which was doing what role.
I lean in and I say, and I whisper into his ear, I honestly don't remember my line. I don't remember what she says at this point.
Well, then you get to go with my name for you. Yeah, just roll with it. It's fine. You basically need to tell Shades here that what he's been looking for is real.
Okay. Okay.
He wants to meet up.
I lean in and I whisper very softly, but not so softly that he can't hear me over the music. I say, you've been looking for something. It's real. I can show you.
Do you mean Mistopheles?
Yes.
You do.
Yes.
Whoa.
Come with me and we'll blow your mind.
You're going to get him later, actually. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, this is the part where the sexual tension first starts developing between a kobold and a blob person.
No, I'm just wealthy.
No, just wealthy.
Oh, you're just wealthy.
Yeah, we're outside of time, space and time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sadroa is not here.
Sadroa gets seasick when we do these for some reason.
Well, we'll have Sadroa back for the Terminator episode.
Got a star. So, Shades, this person is just approaching. You do recognize them. They've accomplished great things in your field of crystal manipulation. But what's their name?
Oh, I think that's up to her. That's not me. I don't pick that.
My name is Trio.
Trio.
I was really falling for Holy Ghost, but okay. Shades.
Yeah.
You have this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested, but I don't know that I believe you.
What will it take to make you believe me?
Oh, probably meeting Mistopheles. Yeah. Definitely that.
Well, okay. I've already told you can meet Mistopheles. Why don't you come with me?
I will.
Okay. And I turn around and I slink away as much as a hobbit can slink. A half-halfling can slink.
All right. Slinking occurs.
Yeah.
Shades.
Yeah.
You jolt awake.
Yeah.
Your alarm has been going off. You're late for your job.
Uh-oh. It's definitely a cool job, right? Lots of crystal hacking.
Oh, the coolest, for sure. The scene shifts again, and we join you at your little table, surrounded by four little walls, where you are working on enchanting crystals. The same thing, day in, day out, in your ill-fitting corporate clothing. And for some reason, the entire room is beige, despite the fact that paint is expensive. Oh, I guess there's some grays too, you know, as accent walls.
Nice.
A package is delivered to you, which you were not expecting.
Oh, package. Okay. I open it.
Inside is a glass orb. You've heard of these. They're communication orbs. You can use them to reach anyone else that has one. It's but a thought, assuming you know exactly how to think about their particular orb.
Okay.
And as you look down at it, it springs to life.
Oh.
Jesse.
So someone's thinking about my orb.
Uh-huh.
You are elsewhere, but you know that Shades is in danger.
Oh.
You are Mistopheles.
Oh, okay. Great. Hey, Grix. Hey, Grix.
Shades.
Hey, Shades. Shades. Hey, Shades. Shades.
I answer my orb.
Oh, hey, you gotta leave. Go this way and then that way. And you gotta trust me. You trust me.
Okay. I do. I go those ways.
Shades, make a dexterity check.
Okay.
A thing you're definitely good at.
Uh-huh.
Vons. We're going to be rotating you around a bit here.
Oh, I did bad.
Can you be intimidating for me?
Can I be intimidating?
Yeah.
Aren't I already intimidating?
How could I say no to that? You are an agent.
Ooh.
Of a vague yet menacing government agency. You
legally
wear sunglasses.
Distinct. Legally distinct. Legally distinct. Legally distinct. Legally distinct. Legally distinct.
You're right. Vague yet menacing government organization.
I mean, all the government we have around here is menacing and spooky.
I mean, that was mostly several key players, but yes, your point is well taken. At any rate, you are wearing snazzy corporate wear. You wear sunglasses inside.
Oh.
You have minions.
Minions could be fun.
Yes, I'm here to be intimidating, sir. Meanwhile, he goes, Gex, you promised to pay me all in due time. All right. You three are trying to catch Shades. You know that he's in this building, and one of his coworkers is a fucking narc and points you to his particular cubicle. Please make a wisdom check to try to catch him.
Can I do something real quick to try to make this harder?
Sure.
And give like a penalty or something? I take off my shades.
Cunning.
Well, wisdom check.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I'm just adding 10 to 6. 16? Super not prime, but...
All right. And then shades.
Yeah.
Temporarily not shades. What did you get on your dexterity?
Pretty bad. That would be an 11. No, 12. Not prime. Huh. I rolled a 2. I did almost as bad as I could do.
All right. Shades, you'd popped your head up. You saw your narc coworker pointing at you.
Yeah.
You saw Vons start to look at you.
Yeah.
Except Vons has glasses, so who knows?
Your head turned in such a way as to indicate it. Vons, you strike me as someone who'd be really good at acting with their face at least partially obscured.
I mean, you can see where my nose is pointing.
It does make it tricky, admittedly. But Shades, you don't duck quite in time. And so the chase is on. Vons, you start chasing after Shades. Shades, you're running. You're following the directions of Mistopheles, I assume. Mistopheles, make a wisdom check to correctly intuit exactly which intersections Shades is going through so you can get him to the right place as things get a little chaotic.
Oh, dude, we turn the cubicle thing into a mini game. That's fun.
24 on a prime for wisdom.
All right. Mistopheles, what does it sound like while you're cool as a cucumber?
So turn this way, and then turn that way, and then go straight for, like, 3 cubicles, and then do a backflip over that, like, little boundary table.
Someone's about to look his way.
Oh, I do it.
Duck. Duck down.
I duck.
I can't see you, apparently, in this rich fiction. You duck down temporarily enough, but this agent that is Vons, Agent Blacksmith, still has your number and is rapidly gaining on you. Mephistopheles, he managed to guide Shades here into an office. Shades, you have but a moment. Do you do anything to stop your pursuers?
What do I do? I duck into the supply closet.
Well, you made it to an office. You followed Mephistopheles' instructions. It's just
I'm in an office.
There's just a door between you and your pursuer. It's currently unlocked, so.
Well, I locked the door. I locked the door.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then, I don't know about that window. That doesn't sound great.
Mephistopheles, you know that he has to go through the window.
Oh, hey,
climb around the outside of the building, which is inexplicably very tall.
Go out the window and climb around the building. I know it's going to be, like, scary and shit, but I believe in you.
Just don't drop your phone.
But what if I die?
It's you won't.
Okay.
All right.
I do it. I try it.
Agent Vons.
Mm.
Or Agent Blacksmith, as played by Vons. Make a strength check to break down the door.
Oh, I rolled a 19.
Uh-oh.
I was going to give you a bonus, but clearly you're doing fine.
Yeah, we're adding 9 to 19, which is like 28. Yeah, There we go. Ha.
All right. Shades, you clamber out the window and you start along the ledge.
Yeah.
Due to ventilation maintenance on the arcs, wind whips at you, threatening to tear you off the side of the building. A large beam sticks out in your way. If you can swing around it, you can get to the ledge and continue further on and possibly escape.
I create an illusionary pathway that just goes around it.
You do not have the ability to do illusions in this acting.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, I hope you gain that ability or something.
Oh.
Agent right. Blacksmith breaks down the door and is approaching you.
I'm going to do it. I run. I go. I jump. I swing around.
Make a dexterity check.
Okay. Ooh, 13 on the die. 24. 4.
All right. Vons, make a dexterity check to try to catch this guy. Because you got close enough, you can, like, reach out the window and try to grab his shirt.
Oh. Oh, 16 on the die. So that would put it at, 26 on a prime.
Mm-hmm. To the rest of you, Agent Blacksmith appears to move unnaturally quickly.
Oh, that's weird.
Wait, 27.
Even more unnaturally quickly.
Oh, that's like super weird. I wonder what's going on with that.
It's weird indeed.
I probably know, but, I haven't seen this one before, so.
Thank you for being a good sport for the audience. All right. So, Grix, you're going, but you're just a little bit too slow.
Yeah.
Agent Blacksmith, you grab him by the belt and you drag him back in. And as this happens, Shades, you drop your communication orb and it plummets off the side of the building to the road below.
Oh, that's bad.
Wealthy, you see a communications orb shatter on the street in front of you.
Shit!
As you sit astride your noble steed.
Okay.
A donkey. You don't think that Shades is going to get to the point where you can extract him. And that he has, in fact, been caught.
I think he's been caught, I tell Mephistopheles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll get him later or something, probably.
Boy, you are chill.
I mean, like, I'm not really worried. The thing is, I don't remember the plot of this in this much detail.
We'll get to the points you've probably heard about in a little bit.
I have a great speech prepared, actually.
I'm excited.
I know, right? I
hope it's not from the second act. Because your character also has a speech in that.
I don't think so.
Good. We don't have licenses for nudity yet, so.
Okay, so I guess Agent Blacksmith has captured Shades.
Yeah, you see him shoving him in the back of a cart.
Oh, man.
In your donkey's rearview mirror.
I pull down the guard on my helmet. On my knight's helmet, because I'm wearing armor, because, I want a horse.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sneak behind them, as we rattle and a great big war horse, and I'm going to be... Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, it's a choice.
Guiding an animal like this is tricky through the city.
It is.
Make a wisdom check.
getting closer and closer to my dream of a Kira bike sliding a horse.
That's a 20. Dirty 20. So not a prime.
All right. The driver of the cart containing shades also rolls. And rolls higher than you.
Ah, shit. Then I'm going
to... They succeed by somewhere between 3 and 13, depending on how I'm feeling right now.
Then I'm going to cop to the idea that I've been caught, and I'm going to turn down an alley and take off as quickly as I can.
Shades.
Yeah.
You were put in a hood partway through this cart ride, and you're walked out of the cart past a certain point, down hallways, you would assume, based on the echoes. Left, right, left, you lose track. But when the hood is removed, you are in a small room. Sitting across from you is Agent Blacksmith. Vons, you need to know what this guy knows about Mistopheles.
Yeah, check out all this paper. Got lots of paper here.
You must be rich. It's very intimidating.
That's mostly what I'm showing off here is the paper. And this nice suit.
Well, you know where you can shove that paper.
I'm going to shove it across the table at you so you can see it. Look how many times your name is on it.
And it's on your name on it in very bad ways, involving words arrest and wanted. And committed crystal crimes.
Crystal crimes? Uh-oh.
Now, Shades, what's your name when you're not being cool? When you're just being a square who works in an enchantment cubicle?
Grix Koboldson.
Mr. Koboldson.
Please, please, that has to be the name of the episode. Mr. Koboldson.
Done.
Could be. Yeah, what do you want?
I don't know.
You want to know what like you want to know
about it's entirely unknown why I'm bothering you right now. I think we're just trying to intimidate you right now.
You're trying to track down. You're trying to track down Mistopheles.
Oh yeah, that's right. We want that guy. We think he's going to be super important.
Also, that
there's a plot relevant character. Tell me about the plot relevant characters.
I've never met him. I don't know him. I was looking for him too once upon a time. Never found him.
Oh, all right then.
No, that's not an accessible answer. Come on, man.
Done here? Great.
Oh. Tell me details about the guy. We know he talks. See, look how thick this paper is.
Yeah, pretty thick.
You do believe that he's been in contact with Shades recently. By which I mean, Grix Koboldson.
Okay, so we're just going to like put this bug in you now.
Oh, I don't care for that.
Yeah. It's going to be real gross.
Wait, are these roach nachos?
No. I mean, I was tempted. But no. I'm on a diet. We're going to put the bug inside you.
Uh-oh.
Rix, you do know at this point you could theoretically demand your lawyer.
Hey, I want a lawyer.
Oh, I'm going to magically remove your mouth somehow.
No, I want to talk to, oh God. What's Vaughn's lawyer's name? By which I mean accountant. What are we treating like a lawyer?
Clits.
Is that it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Vaughn's honestly doesn't know the difference.
No, I want to talk to Clits. He'll get me out of this.
But how do you talk to Clits without a mouth? And now your mouth is gone. It's weird.
Yep. Well, that's your snaps are merging together.
There's sign language. There's arc sign language.
Oh.
What happens if your hands don't work?
Well,
I'm in trouble. Just take those away too.
Oh no,
your hands are gone.
We're pinning you down now, sir. Sorry, Rick, it's for the acting.
Okay, time for bugs.
Rix, you are wrestled onto the table. A large, complex, and ultimately inexplicable magical device is placed down on your stomach. A large mechanical centipede.
Oh, don't like that.
Is in there.
Ugh.
And you think it's going to go and try to get you. And it does. It crawls inside of you. It's super gross.
It hugs you from the inside.
Oh, that's bad.
It's the most special kind of hug.
You wake up in your bed.
Man, he wakes up in his bed a lot.
Yeah.
Possibly once more than the original acting, now that I'm thinking about it.
Wait, the original acting? This is a repeat? Could you even give us an original story? Oh, Gex.
I'm having you guys do actings for me. Clearly you've seen this. Based on how you're playing the character.
What? No, I was just guessing real good. just got really, I got really into the character. It speaks to me.
I saw it, but like a long, long time ago. It's just been a very long time since I saw it.
And it's a classic.
Yeah.
All right.
I saw it a bunch in college, and then I haven't seen it at all in probably 15 years. Don't think about how old Jesse canonically is.
Or if she went to college.
Or if she went to college.
Your nose is bleeding.
She for sure didn't.
Wealthy.
Wealthy.
You've tracked down Shades' apartment.
I have.
You are here to recover him.
I'm here to recover you.
Well, you haven't knocked on the door yet. Sorry, you're standing outside the door. Because it would be creepy for you to have gone inside.
Fine.
Shades, you're pretty sure everything that you just experienced was a nightmare.
Oh, it seemed so real.
I knock on the door.
And it wasn't, it had nothing to do with the metaphorical struggles of becoming, of the realizations of becoming trans.
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Okay.
Meta narration. It's really fun to watch this movie through that lens. It works extremely well. Shocking no one.
Shocking anyway. No one.
No.
Anyway, so there's a knock on your door.
Knock, knock.
Yeah. Yep. Hello. Yeah.
Hi, Shades.
Oh.
I've come to recover. I've come to take you to see Mistopheles.
Ah.
What's the...
Oh, I just had a bad dream about this. All right. Yeah. No, I'm on board. Let's go.
Okay. So he has to ride behind me on the horse.
Yeah.
Well, you have a whole cart this time.
Do you have a spare knight's helmet?
Yes, I do.
Gotcha.
You're very safe in the back of this cart.
Okay. And we do these are specially trained mounts, and the cart is specially made to do donuts and drift through corners. So
the cart's windows are tinted.
Yeah. And I bring Shades to an otherwise abandoned warehouse.
Wait, there's other stuff first.
Oh, uh-oh. Shit. Okay.
Because you know that Shades still has a centipede in him.
Oh, that's right, the bug.
Bonds, you are a member of the same crew as Trio. You can either have a cool white suit or sunglasses. Which do you choose?
Oh, I like the white suit person.
All right. What do you want your name to be?
You know, honestly, I know that they have a name.
You have a cool androgynous air. In the original acting, you might have been named something like Switch.
Oh, right.
There definitely wasn't part of your character cut from the script.
Yeah. In retrospect, that was not subtle. I like the name Switch. It's really hard to do better. Toggle? We'll go with Toggle.
Oh, I love that.
All right. Toggle. You don't know what Trio sees in the Shades, dude. You're not sure about all this, really.
Yeah.
But Trio, you need to get this thing out of him.
Yep. Hold him down.
Get it out. I'm going to point this teeny tiny bow and arrow at him.
And it has a string on the end of it so that you can pull it. You can grab the thing and pull it out.
Well. No, you're the one doing the pulling out thing.
I thought I was driving.
Nope.
No, this happens
I'm doing
before the
out.
Driving.
Okay, all right!
Kopa's the one doing the driving.
I got my little bow and arrow and threw a magical little doohickey that we lay on Grix's belly, on Shades' belly. We can see the mechanical centipede. I'm going to aim my little bow and arrow, and blink! And it goes right through his stomach, and he probably makes a noise. And I say, sorry about that. And then I'm going to pull it, and it's got little, when it went in, it put out little grappling hook things, and now I've got it, and I'm going to pull it out.
You get it out of
him.
That
thing's real?
Yes, it's real, and I'm going to smash it.
You throw it into the street, under the cart's wheel, and it is crushed.
Doing, doing, doing.
All right. Shades, you feeling a little overwhelmed by all this?
Oh, yeah, you know it. What the heck is happening? What's going on here? Things of that sort.
All right. Toggle, you're really fucking annoyed by this. You don't want to deal with this guy anymore, unless he's on board. Do you ask them to stop the cart so you can be annoyed at him?
Adam.
Yeah, Toggle, share your
beef. Oh! Dang it!
It's okay, Vons, and I'm asking a lot of you. A lot of different names.
Stuff. Dummy, you don't even know what's going on yet, and I'm cranky for no real reason. It's just been a long night, really. I mean, we've been out here in the rain. It's like a whole thing.
Lucky, who's playing the part of the driver, hits you on the shoulder and goes, "No, you're just being grumpy because you're cool."
Yeah.
Be the cool person I always imagined you could be.
I'm cool, and like, look at my little crossbow. It's tiny, but it'll get you. It'll get you real good. So we're looking for. Can't remember what their motivation was.
Mephistopheles.
Trio, you think you need to convince this guy, or at least let him know his choices in distinct and metaphorical detail.
Okay, Shades.
Yeah.
I thought that Mephistopheles was going to present you with metaphorical details, and I can't remember what I'm supposed to provide. I only remember one metaphorical detail.
Do you want to go down that street? You can get out of the cart now.
I've got a vague idea now of what I'm supposed to say. You can get out of this cart, and you can walk down the street, and you can go back to your boring-ass life, or you can stay in this cart, and you can go see Mephistopheles, and you can have your eyes open to what's really happening in the world.
Yeah, and then we're going to give you more choices after that, where things will also feel strangely profound for some reason, but you won't really understand it till later.
Yeah, what they said.
Are you going to put more centipedes in me?
No, we're not the centipede putter inners, we're the centipede puller outers.
Okay, well, I mean, that pretty clearly puts what side I'm on.
They had a team name the whole time.
Only available in the background material. Or if you played a video game.
Okay, then...
Yeah, all right, I'm on board. All right,
let's go.
We go.
And now we're standing outside of an abandoned warehouse, and for inexplicable reasons, it's raining again. Like, it rained in Sword Sprinter,
yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, it's always pouring rain in these sort of actings.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. Go to a mysterious abandoned building. Shades, okay. You are guided up the stairs, and you are brought in front of Mephistopheles.
Oh, hey, how's it going? So here's the thing, man. Like, I know it's real weird, but you gotta get on board. There's a lot of shit you don't know about the world. And the fact that you don't know all of this shit about the world means that it's gonna be really hard to, you know, to like trust us. But here's the thing, like, the world that you think that you know, it's like, you know, sort of like a shadow on the wall of what's like real, man. Mm-hmm. And like,
we always go back to Plato's cave, man.
So Buddhism. You're telling me about Buddhism.
Sure, yeah, whatever. But here's the thing, like, pretty sure, like, you are gonna be, like, the key to, like, making it so that everyone in the world can, like, figure out what's really going on. I feel like that's a thing that I tell you right up front, but maybe I'm wrong. Anyway.
Well, he knows now.
And, like, if you, like, wanna know what's going on, you can take this pill, you'll, like, you know, figure out what's going on for real.
Does that have power?
I don't remember.
It's a red pill.
You know, because of the internet people.
Yeah, I know.
You don't know about that.
Sorry, the crystal people. The terminally crystal people.
There you go.
Do you want to take this pink, white, and blue pill, or do you want to take this other only blue pill?
Yeah, do you want to take the pink, white, and blue pill, or do you want to take the one, like, that, do you want to take the pill that makes it so that, like, you don't remember all of this shit, and, like, you can keep going on and being, like, whoever the fuck you thought that you were before?
It's also got a really good decongestant in it.
I mean, like, it's your choice, man, but, like, I mean, I think you should really, like, you know, find out what's going on, because like I said, like, you're kind of the guy, as far as we can tell.
Well,
don't mean to, like, you know, guilt trip you into, doing this, but,
like, I gotta do drugs,
you know, like, I feel like you're kind of, like, the savior of the whole place, probably, and,
I'm pretty sure this happens later after your visit to the fortune teller.
Gonna be, like, a lot of, Jesus imagery and shit, and, you know.
Oh, that's...
Is there Christianity on the arcs?
No.
No.
This is why this is set in a rich fictional universe. Of the acting.
Anyway, I just, like, you know, I think you should take the blue, white, and red, and pink pill.
I mean,
and, like, join us and, like, you know, find out what's going on.
I will. But, like, I just want to point out that your whole organization here is not very like accessible. Because, like, what if the chosen one was straight edge?
Oh, it's not like drugs, man.
Yeah, that's what they all say. No, it's just a little. It's just a little something to make you feel good. It's not drugs. It's not real drugs.
No, no, man. It's gonna make you feel real bad. Oh, so, like, you're really, it's not drugs.
All right.
Well, but you'll know what reality actually is, and, like, isn't that something you have always wanted?
That's what the guy who sold me Molly said.
It absolutely is an acid.
You're gonna know what reality is, man. No, I'll take it. I'll take the blue, white, and pink.
All right.
So this episode's going to be a little longer than we thought. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It'd be a real short acting if we didn't get here. All right. Toggle, you and Trio and Lucky and Mitt, both playing like two characters at once, all work with this strange mishmash of various arcs technologies. As for you, Shades, there's a mirror on the wall that it turns silvery and liquidy. You think it's important?
Hey, you said this wasn't drugs.
No, it's not drugs, man. That's just, like, reality making itself clear. So,
dude, stick your hand in there.
I mean, technically, it was drugs.
I mean...
I'm in the scene
you
again.
You gotta break...
You're always in the scene, sir. All right.
Okay, I smash the mirror.
You reach out to smash the mirror.
Yeah.
But it's all liquidy and silvery.
Oh, no.
It goes and covers your hands. It starts covering all of you. And as you attempt to scream, it goes down your throat.
Don't panic, man. That's normal.
Not entirely sure what that means in the trans metaphor, but shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Shiny's fun.
Some things are not for us to know.
Big Brother, Silver Goo is a classic part of the trans metaphor. Thank you. We hear some strangely magically warped noises. And then, Shades, you wake up.
Yeah.
You're in a bunch of goo, and you got a bunch of tubes in you, and you're naked, and it's very scary.
And you have no hair.
And you have...
In, like, a gross way.
Yeah. Wow. Lost all your beautiful cobalt fur.
Wild. Well, I don't like being naked, but I do know from all the times I've woken up in the clinic not to pull the tubes out.
You're pretty sure you should pull the tubes out.
Oh, should I? Okay.
You're panicking.
All right.
I should clarify. This is real scary.
Oh,
this is a much bigger tube than the clinic has ever done, and one of them goes down your throat, which is uncomfortable.
Okay. I panic.
You flail about.
This is me panicking.
Does anybody else imagine that the pink goo is probably oddly comforting?
I could see it.
Hey, man, that's a little too in character for your characters.
If I'm in the lighting, it looks like it should taste like those gummy peach rings.
Yeah, I pull out the tube.
All right, you flail around and you manage to sit up. You're pulling the tube out. You push your way through a weird membranous barrier and you look out and you see towers and towers and towers of the same kind of pods that you were in and giant machines tending to them.
I just realized we had almost exactly the same scene in Austin Powers. He's gonna have to pee.
Mons, how dare you? And then the liquid in your in your pod is flushed down a tube. And you with it.
Uh-oh.
Go down the chute and you are launched. And you manage to land in what you sure hope is like a water cistern and not raw sewage.
Yeah, probably.
And your eyes hurt as bright lights descend upon you. And you lose consciousness.
Okay.
It swims back for a time. You are full of needles.
Man.
But in a comforting way, I guess.
Oh.
I don't know. They look medical.
Except they kind of zap you.
Yeah, Toggle, are you working this machine?
Yeah.
Toggle is working the machine.
Just flicking switches.
You feel little twitches in your muscles. Your eyes hurt.
You know, sometimes gender-affirming surgeries are painful, but also they give us things that we want.
Like boobs?
Yeah. Huh?
Or not boobs.
Or not boobs.
Mm-hmm. That's why they call them Toggle. Those are the two options on the board.
Boobs or not boobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair, like, most by definition, a toggle switch doesn't have a middle position.
Exactly.
I feel like this one probably should.
Well, there are toggle switches that do have a middle position, and
a three.
Yeah, there are switches that have middle positions. They're not toggles.
We dream of a future that feels so close where there is a knob or a dial.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It really should be a dial.
Yeah, I can definitely see Vons' character being named Knob. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I didn't think it was going to be that funny.
Jesus.
Well, it's the sense that it's that there are opinions backing that up.
Yes. I value Vons far more now than I used to. And I'm sorry if I was mean.
Yeah.
There's this beautiful moment of character growth.
That's why we really do the actings, is to explore our characters from other angles and discover things about each other.
Mm-hmm. So I'm getting electrocuted through my...
And your eyes really hurt as you look up at these bright lights. Do you say that out loud? Do you express your eyes hurting?
Yeah. It feels like you're electrocuting me and my eyes hurt.
Yeah, it's because you haven't used them before.
Oh.
Poke, 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 poke.
You fall unconscious again.
Okay.
You wake up.
Okay.
In a bed this time.
Oh.
Bringing it back around.
I do that a lot.
You are dressed in simple garb. That's frankly a little rougher than you're used to on the arcs.
Okay.
And also you appear to be inside some sort of ship.
Whoa.
What do you do?
I'm going to get up and wander around a little bit.
Yeah, before you complain, that's the fanciest burlap we have.
Mistopheles.
Yeah, hi.
Shades has awakened.
Oh, hey. This is reality.
It kind of sucks.
It's, it could be better, but that's why we ask you to come out and be part of it. So, yeah.
What's the name of your ship, Mistopheles?
Frymeath. I don't know why. I don't know if I named it or what, but yeah, it's named Frymeath.
I might have given it a name like Nebuchadnezzar, but you know,
I was thinking I couldn't remember the name, and then my brain was like, oh, the Odyssey, and then I was like, no, Frymeath.
Well, that's a journey.
I know. It is a journey, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
LOL.
All right. Shades.
Yeah.
You're out here. You know this is reality and that it kind of sucks. But you've always had a question you've wanted to ask Mistopheles. What is the number grid?
The number grid.
What is the number grid?
Oh, it's like times tables, except for like reality.
Oh.
We all like live in, we don't anymore. But pretty much everybody who's ever lived, pretty much everybody who's alive right now sort of like lives in the number grid. And it's like really annoying because they're just like doing math all the time. And like that's really tiring. And like
that's why there's so many accountants.
Like the machines. Hey, man. Hey. Hey, fuck you.
Aaron, you feel it when you do your taxes or some other company's taxes or all kinds of people's taxes, I'm sure.
I mean, there's a lot of things that accountants do that are not taxes. Anyway.
But they're not references to this film, so I didn't bring it up.
So are you saying that the real reason taxes exist are just to tap us into the machine system to do processing? That makes me so happy and sad.
Cool measure. It would explain so much misery.
Yeah, so like the machines kind of are like running everything now. That's why we like all do like so much times tables when we're in not reality, because they really like it when we do times tables, I guess. But like, you know, the people who are outside in reality now, like don't like really want to make sure that everybody else gets out of the number grid. So we've been like looking for someone who could do that for a while, and we're pretty sure that you're that guy.
Whoa.
We can like train you and shit. You want to get like trained and shit?
Like what kind of training? Like crystal hacking?
I mean like kind of like that, except we like sort of put crystals, like the like sort of like thoughts that are in crystals into your head. And then like you get to like keep that knowledge.
They're pretty similar to what they do to yourself all the time, honestly.
And use it when you're in the crystal in the number grid.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds cool.
Okay, so like we put him in the the chair, and like put the like crystals so that he like can like think he's in a different place, and then we like make it so that he knows how to like, you know, do sick monk shit, like hand to hand, like hand to hand combat and shit.
And when he wakes up, he says,
"Whoa, I know how to punch people real good."
And Mephistopheles, what do you say to that?
Yeah, it's real sick, isn't it, man?
Yeah, I wish I could like demonstrate it somehow.
Oh, I like pretend to attack. I like do like a little sparring thing and attack him.
Ah, not here. I don't know how to do it here.
No, in the like thought place.
In the number grid?
In the fake little tiny version of the number grid.
The miracles of local hosting. You have a sparring match.
Yeah, it's like a LAN party, except it's whiter.
Both of you make strength or dexterity checks. It is your choice.
I'll use dex.
I will as well.
I got a 27.
I also got a 27.
Whoa, you're like really good at this, man. Like way better than I thought you would be, even.
Thanks, it's my first day.
Well, I guess it like kind of makes sense since you're the, you know, the guy.
The guy.
Yeah.
I knew he was the guy.
Yeah, I know.
I just knew it.
I know. Yeah, it's weird how you're like kind of making hard eyes at him. Because like, I thought you didn't like guys.
Oh, well, I'm playing a character.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow, you're really good at acting.
I've been told. Thank you. I'm making hard eyes at me at Shade.
Uh-huh. You succeed.
Cool. I think we gotta go talk to the like the fortune teller lady. Is that the thing that happens in this one?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. There's a bunch of other explanations, but in the end, Mephistopheles wants to take you to the fortune teller lady.
Yeah, because it's gonna
that's
be
her,
like
that's
she's
her official name.
She's gonna like know a bunch of shit that she can tell you that will make more sense coming from her. Because I can tell you the basics, but like she like really knows her shit.
Got it. So what?
Yeah. So we gotta go like back into the number grid for like the real the like big number grid in order to see her.
Oh, so she like that's where she lives? That seems dangerous.
Yeah, but I mean, like, most people live in there, and,
And you're the guy.
Yeah, you're the guy, so, like...
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we need a bunch of weapons and stuff together?
Uh-huh, yeah, for cool. Sure. We get, like, a bunch of weapons. Just and, like, and, like, illusion weapons.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you all end up...
Am I doing something wrong?
No. Just racks and racks and racks of, everything you could want.
Uh-huh.
Toggle, you're there. You're arming yourself.
Yeah.
Trio, Mephistopheles, Shades.
Yeah, I'm loading up duffel bags.
Actually, Shades, I think in this case, they only trust you with a pistol. As you know, you're new at this.
Yeah, probably.
And you know how to punch people real cool.
And you do only need to play it a little bit subtle here. You're just trying to visit someone who lives in a normal apartment building.
Yeah, we're all packed and ready to go, but, you know, we've got a moderate number of weapons on us.
Yeah.
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 All right. You all go into the number grid. You set up a little forward operating base. Toggle roll an intelligence check to set this base up real good.
Oh, what check was that?
Intelligence.
I think we call that a 15.
You set up a perfectly adequate forward operating base. You put all your weapons in one room with the youngest guy guarding them.
Yeah, these doors won't disappear or anything.
That's right.
Cool.
Besides, you got Rat on it. He's young but scrappy. He'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Keep our adult magazines safe there, guy. We'll be back.
And then Mistopheles, Shades, Trio.
Yeah.
You all head off to the fortune teller lady.
Oh, cool.
And that's where we'll pick up next time.
All right. Cool.
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you just heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions and comments and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter at primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our blazed posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Troll Lord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Ian. Thanks, Ian! Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute. Okay, give me a second because my computer has decided that I'm no longer watching it, and
the computer rebels. How apropos.